Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for you. Hallie, how are you?
Well, you know, again, we are a little bit behind you guys. So it is the first week where Trump is naming all of sort of his intention to appoint all of his cabinet, you know, heads of things and cabinet members. And it's just an onslaught of insanity. Yeah. And we're recording this on Friday, November 15th. And yesterday he announced that he is, in fact, going to put Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or try to install him as the head of Department of Health and Human Services. I don't think he's going to
believe that one won't get through. I think a lot of these idiots, I think Pete Hegseth and his dirty hands are going to make it. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of people who do get through, but I think RFK's got it. I hope that by the time people listen to this, maybe that's wrong. I don't know when those confirmation
hearings happen. I don't know
why
we're saying this, though, unfortunately, because we have passed the point where we could say anything. And I think I would have said the same thing about Matt Gaetz, but the thing is, like, Trump really wants Matt Gaetz to be the attorney general because he's his dog, right? And, all of these Republicans have come out and basically been like, whatever Trump says, we're going to vote through.
We're going to do, yeah.
And it's insane because it's like, well, some of you must have children and grandchildren, and surely you must be able to, at some level.
You all eat food.
You all eat food. You all are vaccinated. You all have at least something that you were like, oh, you know, it would be bad if we lost. Maybe you like the national parks. Maybe you like being able to drink palatable water. Like, whatever you, one thing is, you got to be like, oh, you know, I'm actually helping destroy that too. I should say this because RFK Jr. is an AIDS denialist, by the way. And literally, I mean, when I say that, I don't mean like in the 80s and 90s. I mean, today, literally you can look it up. There's an interview with him. I think it's Intelligencer, like New York Magazine, from last year where it opens with him telling, I don't know the reporter's name, telling her that we don't really know. I mean, if it's just the virus, like, he keeps talking a lifestyle thing. Meanwhile, every gay man I know is on PrEP, which could only exist with the decades of research we've done on AIDS. So, like, this idea of, like, his brain was eaten by a worm. And I just don't, like, I don't think that disqualifies you, but I just don't think it helped. You know what I mean?
No. It's so bad. It's so, so bad.
Yeah. So that's where
I don't know.
I just feel like as someone who would have considered themselves liberal, and I feel like am now a progressive and I'm moving further left. Boy, we all goofed, and I hope at least some of the pundits understand that and understand there's really no other option but to actually try to form a coalition on the left. And if we do that, you do have to actually do moral things, right? It can't just be this game of like, oh, who's going to win? Because we're not going to win because we can't do what Trump does. But also, like, there are real morals and ethics to these things, right? Like, it's morally wrong to force trans people out of public life. That's a morally wrong thing. So if you're like, oh, well, we'll shave off trans people's rights in order to win, first of all, no we won't.
No,
what are
we
you
won't.
Talking about? Are we this
We're
fucking stupid?
We're not doing that.
And also, it's morally wrong. So in case there's already conversation about like, oh, whether or not we should do this, well, first, think to yourself, is this morally and ethically wrong? And then also be like, also, does this, would this even do anything? And of course it wouldn't.
No.
So I guess that's where I'm at, which I'm assuming, you know, you're listening to this, you know, you presumably feel the same way. I don't know. I guess there's just, it's just us chickens now. And
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Allison, how are you doing?
I just like, I'm like, as someone who wrote for specifically political Trump-focused late-night television shows during his administration, I like forgot. Somebody like tweeted this. Also, RIP Twitter. I am about to deactivate and leave forever.
Do you still need a link to? Do you still need like an invite code?
Nah, Blue Sky. You can just sign up.
I'll sign up. Yeah,
just come to Blue Sky. Okay. I can't let AI take all of my genius tweets.
No,
of the last 15 years. I forgot the pace of which the news unfolds and how there's something every day. And like we felt like the election cycle was nuts, but like. Like Trump in charge, like when he is the centerpiece of the news, it is like, it is a bombardment that makes time like not exist anymore. And I really, this week has felt that way. And I am not looking forward to, you know, being in a, like, thankfully I don't write for a Donald Trump focused late night show anymore because that would be exhausting. But
well, sadly, I still do. And
yes, you will have to deal with that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It is not fun.
We've been talking about sort of like how what to do. I agree. Like I think just most people don't necessarily. It's hard. It's like you don't want to do that, but also like this is a way that people get the news. And I think more and more people will be so overwhelmed and disgusted they won't read the news. So it's like I do think like you know I don't think late night should just be about politics, but like it's a palatable way to for people to consume it. And also people have two or three jobs and they have children. So it's like it is. It's to be able to keep
down
track.
And,
it's incredibly difficult. So I don't know. And also, what's the future of comedy in general, Allison?
I know. It's bad, 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 bad. It's you have to be an incel or I don't know. I guess that's kind of it. The only
now
people
you're
that are already
right?
famous.
Yours is voluntary, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
so
yes.
You're good to go.
So that feels fine.
Yeah.
I will say it's getting colder, which is amazing. And Riz is getting fluffier because his undercoat is growing in. So he's super fuzzy and extra cuddly. Oh. So that's a good thing.
I've been hanging out with my three friends who all have cats, and they're all talking about it now that it's chilly. The cats are like constantly on them, and it's harder to get out of the house. I do need to just get a cat. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Get one of those hairless cats you give a little bath to.
I know. Yeah. Well, when I'm scrubbing down a hairless screaming cat in a bathtub, you'll know I'll finally have made it.
I feel like they like it because it's like warm.
They do. And it seems like there's a lot of, I mean, whatever. I watch all these videos on TikTok, obviously. So they're not putting the videos up where the cats are hating it, but they're so cute and they seem to enjoy it.
They're so cute. They're so cute. They're just little buddies.
Hey guys, it's Allison here just popping in to interrupt, but also to tell you that we have a December live show coming up, obviously, because the holidays, we're doing it Sunday, December 15th. So hopefully everybody's around and free and ready to sit down and listen to us ruin Heretic. Yeah, we got to do it. I mean, we absolutely have to do Heretic. It is time. I'm so excited for this. It'll be normal 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Sunday, December 15th. And you can get your tickets at moment.co/ruined. That is moment.co/ruined. Patreon members, you will get them in your email inbox. But everybody else, go get your tickets at moment.co/ruined and join us on the 15th for Heretic. Okay, bye.
Well, speaking of something that's not so cute.
No.
But does star Little Buddy. That is the movie of the week, which continues our Michael Hanukkah month.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah to all who celebrate and all who don't. And I am speaking about celebrating Michael Hanukkah and
Michael
his
Hanukkah.
Incredible oeuvre, which, again, I'd always heard of but not really delved into. And boy, I'll tell you, great. And very European. Terrifically. Oh, it's like I'm taking a trip to Europe when I watch these films. And I'm not saying that, like, America's better. Obviously, we're not.
We're not better at anything at this point.
But we have a very strong flavor as well. And these movies are flavored of I'm tasting a white European, of German,
very white.
Austrian, origin. And it's just funny. The movie we're doing this week is a movie I hadn't even heard of until we decided to do this month and do this week. And it's 1992's Benny's Video. And it stars the very talented, very young Arno Friesch or Friesch. This is a great movie. Terrible title. I hate it. Yeah. It's called Benny's Video.
In knowing the title and then watching the trailer, I was like, what a stupid title for this.
It's really too bad. He also stars in the original Funny Games.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
So, you know, he's crushing this. He's Michael Haneke's muse. I'm not sure, but he plays a teenage boy who, well, makes a terrible video in this movie, Allison.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and before we get into it, we were saying that every week we're going to share something we like about the holiday season.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to do Hanukkah, and I'll do Christmas again.
Sure. I forget what I said last time.
You know, I'm going through the things I remember about Hanukkah.
Maybe I'm doubling up, but whatever. Latkes.
I was going to say, you did not say latkes, because that was okay. My first thing, and you said something else. So.
I love them. They are a labor of love. They are you destroy your kitchen. Your house smells like a McDonald's for several days after you make them. But, like, it is, like, a once-a-year thing where I will just, like, make a ton of mm-hmm. them. And my mom does, too. And, like, sometimes if I'm seeing her, she'll, like, bring me frozen ones and be like, put these in the freezer for later. Because, like, they are really easy to heat up and they're just so good. It's my favorite potato consumption.
Oh, it's so good. My mom also made them and they're really excellent. I will say Trader Joe's makes a good frozen latke. It's not homemade, obviously, but like in a pinch, I feel like you could absolutely.
Sure. Are they the one? Is it like shredded potato or is it like pureed potato? Like,
I think it's shredded. It's the shredded texture.
That's what you want, the ones that are kind of like spidery, lots of little crispy edges.
I love that.
All right, what do you got? I don't remember what you said last time, so.
I think it was Christmas tree lighting, which, again, I enjoy all year round. I'm going to say my mother's fruitcake, which she made growing up, because people, they have nothing nice to say about a fruitcake, and I understand that because people are getting, like, dry, overly sweet, like, store-bought fruitcake. When we were growing up, like, it was both a punchline and also people would bring that.
Yeah.
My mother would make this recipe. It was so good. It was, like, this intensely dense, like, cake bread. You know what I mean? Like, you get a piece of pumpkin bread and it's like, well, you mean a rectangle cake? Yeah, so.
Yeah. Pumpkin bread, banana bread, like, these are cakes.
And so it's basically like an orange cranberry fruit cake and it was soaked in like sugary orange syrup, right? So it's really dense and like it's like condensed almost. And then it's full of really tart cranberries. So
ooh,
it's almost
that
like a,
so good.
It's so fucking good. And then she would keep, oh, and then walnuts too. So it's like an earthy flavor to ground it.
Yes.
And then you put it in the freezer, you like shave parts of it off. Like, it's almost like, it's almost like Lean's fudge sometimes, like the texture.
Oh, sure.
My mouth is watering and it was so good. But also, a labor intensive project. Shout out to my mom. Yes. She listens to these. Excellent fruit. Best fruitcake I've ever, I think only good fruitcake I've ever had. And I always look forward to that.
I can't say that I've ever had it.
Yeah, it kind of, I feel like people don't make it anymore, but like, maybe I should try to make it this year.
But that sounds really, that's a good project for this year.
Yeah, I just cut to me sobbing, like trying
with
to bake.
With a mess of a kitchen.
Yeah, you know, but like, that's just me putting salmon in the air fryer, so. But yeah, I absolutely should try that, but I remember that very fondly, and it was genuinely delicious.
Shout out to our moms and the good holiday food they make.
Yeah, shout out to moms in general.
Moms. We're sorry.
Yeah, I say thank you, and we're sorry. Well, with that in mind, let us begin. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what did you think about the trailer for Benny's Video?
I would say that this trailer gave me the least information about a movie of any trailer we've done. Great. I was just like, okay. I mean, it's a vibe. I see like what's happening, but I don't know what's happening. Like I couldn't tell you who anyone is, what anybody's trying to do, what they have done. But it's a vibe.
Okay, great. Yeah, absolutely it is. Was there any like standout images or moments that sort of stuck out to you as like, that's going to be bad?
Just like, it wasn't even like there are moments, but just like the lingering sense of dread that kind of every frame had.
Yeah.
I know something bad is happening. I don't know what it is, but I know something bad is happening. And I would say that's the sense I get of this film.
And that is the overriding essence of, I think, of his oeuvre.
Yes, I think so too.
And it's really interesting too, because it's set in 1992, which feels so modern, you know, like I feel like mm-hmm. sometimes you see movies in 92 and it might as well be 1975, you know, it feels yes. very like of a time. And this is like, oh, this could come out this year, you know, like.
Yeah.
Instead he'd be online, versus like he has like videotapes and a camcorder. But the 90s really was the beginning of like, you know, like video culture, like, and then like that leading into online.
Yes.
And then we always like to take a baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the alienation of modern society?
I mean, I think we're looking at the results of that here in America and also over a lot of Western and Eastern Europe. It is like, I feel like I can feel of this era, like this was kind of like the first step towards like there is more in the home that you can consume alone mm-hmm. than in public. And like there's more, you know, TV in every room and ability to like make a video yourself and give it to so, like that. That was a newer technology in the, you know, the early 90s. And you can feel that that was like the beginning of certainly something.
Certainly something. That's for sure. And then
certainly something that took us down into this rabbit hole of isolation.
And then specifically, how scary do you find the concept of how that alienation affects teenagers?
Oof. I mean, very scary, bad. It sucks because I liked, like, we had a you know, computer in our computer room that I liked to be on by myself, like, just playing games and, like, making, like, a fake magazine. And I really enjoyed that, but, like, I can see how, under the wrong conditions, that pulls somebody into a really dark place.
Yeah, it's just so hard because, like, you know, and I've said this before, the internet has given us so many things, including, like, communities that otherwise wouldn't be able to connect, like the queer community, like a place to actually like meet other people and understand that they could like live publicly and stuff.
Yes.
But also, the nature of how the internet intersects with like all the bullshit we're bringing to it. And then also capitalism.
Right.
It sort of just draws out these like incredibly dark and violent aspects of humanity, which we will of course be exploring in this movie. And I think it's interesting because we'll discuss at the end, because I think like some of the reviews I read were sort of like, oh, this is like very nihilistic, specifically about like the news, you know? And I'm that is not what I thought this movie was saying. Oh, like, I did not take that as like, oh, the news was the issue or like TV or video, but we'll discuss that. I think it's making a larger commentary. And then finally, would you like to guess the twist in Benny's video?
Guess the twist.
Is there a twist in this film?
I think so. I would say at the very end, something happens that I was not expecting.
Oh, well, I can't figure out for the life of me what's happening in most of this movie, just from the knowledge I have. I'm going to say that we don't see the end of whatever the video is until the end, and there's a crime.
Okay, great.
Someone gets killed on video, but we don't know about it because no one finishes it.
Okay, great. It's finally revealed to us. Fabulous. Yes. Love it. Let us begin ruining Benny's video. Mm-hmm. We open at a farm, which is a hog farm, and we are watching a scene through like an early 90s camcorder as the farmers there lead a squealing hog out into the yard, and they kill it with a bolt gun, as featured in the movie No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I wasn't able to find any information about, say, the production of this to sort of check in on the pig, but I'll be honest, it seems like Michael Haneke went to a pig slaughterhouse and filmed them killing a pig that was then later eaten. So, again, not to assume the best, but I think it's like, well, this is what happened and that...
Yeah, I mean, that's happening.
Yeah, it's a disgusting, horrific moment. And I'll tell you, it really put me in mind to send me back into my vegan era as someone who spent a number of years vegan.
Yep.
Because it's just sad. It's
that'll do it.
They're so smart and it's very cute.
I know.
I don't eat a ton of pork, but also I do, you know what I mean? Either. I eat other meat, so it's not like, you know, Not like I don't understand how it's happening. Also, I need to lower my cholesterol, so maybe this is a sign for me to do this.
Yeah, maybe it's a good idea.
Allison, the pig falls to the ground, bleeding from its skull.
Great.
And then, it's a Michael Haneke movie, the film rewinds, funny game style, and we watch the video get in slow motion.
Oh, God.
Of the pig getting being shot in the forehead with the bolt gun and it falling to the ground, blood gushing out of its skull. Title card, Benny's video.
Here we are.
We find ourselves at what looks, to me, this is what's crazy. This, I thought this was a work party. And it was like, okay, everyone's like young, but like young business people in, you know, it's in German. So I was like, okay, so, you know, these are like yuppies, I guess, of the time.
Yeah.
It was shot, looks like it was shot in Austria and Switzerland. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, but these are young professionals, right? And they're at somebody's home, but there's, like, catering. We see ham. There's a lot of, like, meat throughout the film. Sort of, you know.
Yuck.
Where does it come from? Who does the dirty work? Mm. And we see a young woman explaining a game called Pilots and Passengers. And this is really interesting because I like, if this caught out in America, the society would be destroyed in a matter of weeks.
Oh, okay.
So basically, it's a – basically – this is, again, from Wikipedia. It's called Pilots and Passengers. It is a style of pyramid scheme. And that
this did happen here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
it was called the airplane game.
Yes, the airplane game or the plane game. Yeah.
Or the 80s.
So basically, the idea that like people put in money and sort of the idea that like you could win. There's pilots and they could sort of like, they have to count up the money. And depending on like how each pilot does, then they become... They win the money and then the next person becomes the pilot. It's incredibly complicated, but it essentially requires you to pony up. Like, you have to add money to the pot.
It's a pyramid scheme with no, like, selling anything.
Yes, it's just...
Like, it's just the pyramid.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of lottery at the end of a pyramid, right? And so, apparently...
Wait,
oh,
real quick. Okay, I learned about that from an amazing podcast called The Dream. It had the first season. It's all about pyramid schemes in the U.S. And it's like the history of them, the modern ones. The first season is all about – go listen to The Dream. Everyone, it's so, so great. It came out a couple of years ago.
Ooh, okay, great. And this to me screams – and have we talked about gambling? Are you a gambling person, a gambling gal?
I am not a gambler.
Yeah, me either. So like it just gives you like, why do you bring money and like lose it? It's like, I'm good. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'll just
you know?
Keep my money.
Like sure, maybe I'll win money, but like I know myself, that's almost certainly not going to happen.
Yeah.
But like basically like if you, so potentially you could lose out on getting paid and then unless you have to like restart it. So like if you end up at the bottom or you're losing, you have to find like, it's either 7 or 13 more people to form a new plane.
To come. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then it's like, I don't want it. Then your whole life gets taken from you. So anyways, these young people are playing this and they are putting in all this cash into a box and they're getting drunk and they're eating like flood slices of ham where I'm like, damn, they really did it right in Europe in the early 90s, I guess. Just eating cold cuts. And suddenly an older man in glasses walks in and says, may I ask what's going on here? And all the young people sort of file out. And the last woman out is, her name is Ava, the young woman. And she says, thank you, Daddy, because that is her father, George. But again, I didn't know. I was like, okay, Daddy, you know, we saw the piano teacher. Where are we going with this? But she says, sorry, next time I'll let you know I'm having people over. So that's why I'm like, oh, these are like 22-year-olds. Like these are college students. But because it's the early 90s, everyone is like a trench coat, an actual dress shoe, a tucked-in sweater. They look great, but like... That party now, people would just be in sweatsuits,
Yes.
Like hair, not like filthy hair sweatsuits, people throwing money into a box, right? At least in America. Maybe in Europe it's different, but. And so Ava lives in, you know, sort of a regular, sort of, I think, less nice apartment with her roommates. And this is her parents' nice apartment. So she knew that her parents were going to be out of town. So she had literally, I would say, 25 people over because they're all kind of milling around the lobby of their luxury apartment. And she started talking to her father. And he's obviously a little bit angry, but he's like, "Don't, it's not a problem. Just let us know next time. We could order catering." So it's like, you know, these are wealthy people. You know, if you want to have people over, that's not a problem. Let us know. We'll order.
We want to make sure that it's catered affair.
But I think this also sets up like that her parents are never going to be upset about anything because they're wealthy. Yeah. Like, it's not like, hey, by the way, this was disrespectful. We don't know these people. They were drinking. We just want to make sure that we know what's going on in the house. It's don't worry. Next time we'll get catering, right? Like they want that. You know, they want her to know that, by the way, your wealth is going to cover this all up. So don't worry about that. We then see camcorder footage of the party. People get loose, collecting money in the box. And we see the video. It is, of course, one of Benny's videos. And we meet Benny, who's... he was 17 when this came out, the actor. So he must have been 16 when they're shooting it. And he looks 16, and then all of his little friends look 12 to me. So I think it's like, yeah. I guess 16 is like for boys, like some of them look like little men.
Yeah.
And some of them
and
look
some
like
of them are children.
Babies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has friends that like look really young compared to him, but they're probably all like, you know, like freshmen through sophomores in high school. So he's sitting at his desk. His desk is under shelves and shelves of VHS tapes. He's obsessed with videos. He has a TV in his bedroom that's constantly playing the news, or he's playing video, and he's at his desk. We see video of him at the party. So he was at the party. He was recording things, you know, just sort of walking around. Now this would be a gaming setup with a computer, but he's obviously a video freak. His mom stops in and says, "Could you please turn that off and go to sleep? You know, it's getting late." And he doesn't even look at her and says, "In a minute." He rewinds the tape, and then he switches to the news. And it's all bad news, Allison. It's Bosnia. It's Serbia.
Oh, yeah. Rough
yeah, it's,
era
it's
of that part of the world.
Football hooligans beating up asylum seekers. You know, as the more things change, the more they stay the same here.
Jesus.
And she says, "Why don't you tidy up in here?" He's like, "I will do it tomorrow." You know, typical teenager stuff. And his mom asks him about the party. When did they show up? And he's like, "Well, Evie came here with the food at 6, and then most people showed up at 8. And she's like, "Well, you know, basically, like, I don't know why she would do not tell us." And he says, "She tried to reach you, but she couldn't." So I think the idea is, like, the parents kind of go away for the weekend and, like, just leave the kids to their own, you know, devices.
Yeah.
And Ava's obviously old enough, I'm assuming college age, to live, outside of the house. But, Benny really is a child, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he's kind of left alone on the weekends. His father, George, comes to the door and says to Benny, "Hello, son, a good evening to you." So that's the level of warmth we have here.
Cool, yeah. Very white Euro.
German. And he says, "What's on the news?" And Anna says, "There's nothing." And he goes, "What are they talking about?" She's like, "I don't know, nothing." So they're not even really paying attention to the news while it's on. And again, presumably because they're white, it doesn't really affect them and rich. But yeah, we're seeing Serbian troops attacking civilian targets. And he says to Anna, "Where did Ava get money to play pilots and passengers? Did you give her the money?" And Anna says, "Ava said her friend won 70,000, I don't know what country they are in specifically, I'm going to say dollars. Ava said her friend won $70,000 playing the game. Ava wanted 10,000 from me, but I only gave her 5,000 and I told her that she had to earn the rest." So these are people who are giving their kid thousands of dollars for a pyramid scheme.
Wow.
Just because they have it, right? Meanwhile, on the TV behind them, we see an oil refinery burning in a Serbian town, right? Like, okay. We see what we're saying. And George says, "All right, well, I'm bushed. I'm going to head to bed." And they all turn into the night, and in the dark, Benny lays there and listens to his parents having sex through the wall. Which, again.
Yuck.
Yuck. On the next day in the locker room, Benny starts the pyramid scheme. He's going to do pilots and passengers. So he's telling his friend, he has his friend Ricky. I'm going to say Richie. He says, "Nothing ventured, nothing gained." And his friend's like, "Yeah, well, okay, if I had 500 shillings as pocket money, I'd be willing to risk a few of them too. Like, it's different for you." And he says, "Look, everyone just has to bring $10 and you could win up to $80. What's it to lose? You know, somebody has to win. So who's in?" So one guy gives him a tenner and Benny names him the first co-pilot. We then see him after school he orders nuggets, a quarter pounder, and a drink in McDonald's. And honestly, that looks delicious.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he's watching The Toxic Avenger. He's watching an action movie starring a virtuous mutant. And I believe that's the only one that came to mind. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yep, that's him. Not a lot of guys that look like The Toxic Avenger. Shout out to The Toxic Avenger. Thanks for avenging things. And we see Benny after school go to a video store. And this is fun. And we never had this in America, but like they had a bank of TVs playing different movies. And you could put on a headset and watch for a little bit to see if you want to rent it.
That should have been here.
That's really fun. I also do miss movie stores, video stores.
I miss video stores so much.
And you could just like see all the covers and like wander around and look through the saloon doors of the porno room and see what you could see.
It was, and they had, like, they sometimes sold, like, movie candy and, like,
oh, yeah, God. He goes to rent video, whatever 28 is, on their list for 3 days, and he sees a blonde girl standing outside, and she's watching. They have TVs also playing in the front window. So she's obviously coming from school to standing outside watching whatever movie's playing, and he notices her. At home, he does homework. He's playing really loud rock music. He watches The Toxic Avenger again, sort of playing while he's in bed. The next morning, which I think is Friday, we see a note from his parents. Benny, have a nice weekend. Study hard. The fridge is full. Love, Mom. So they're out of there. They didn't even say goodbye last night when he was going to bed. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they also left cash, which he pockets, and he heads out to school. And we see that he has choir on Friday. And we see, like, behind the boys passing a note. And this is a really long scene where, like, the boys are passing money and notes behind their backs, like, the entire time for, like, 10 minutes. And, of course, they're doing the full pyramid scheme. So people are, like, handing money down.
Yes.
We also see someone hand cash down and get a packet of Anapentin, which I could not figure out what it was, but I'm assuming it is ADHD medication or some sort of stimulant.
Yeah.
Some sort of controlled substance that somebody is purchasing, you know, at school. Also, again, all of his little friends look like they're 11, 12. I'm sure they're around the same age, but he just looks slightly older.
Yeah.
After school, we see Benny go back and return the video he watched, and he's getting more videos. He sees that same blonde girl standing outside watching the TVs in the windows. Benny walks out. We don't hear them talking because they're on the other side of the glass. He stops to talk to her. Allison, he invites her back to his apartment, and she goes. I understand he's a handsome boy that seems to be your age. You think, what's the harm? Well, unfortunately, there's going to be some harm coming up
here. Seems like harm.
Yeah. And he brings her into his room and says, come on in. You could sit anywhere. And he shows her that he has so he has this larger TV and then a little tiny TV that has a live feed out the window. She's like, that's so crazy. And he has a live feed, but then all the shades are drawn. So they look out, they look at the live feed as opposed to looking out the window, which we get where we're going with this. Benny lights a cigarette. Again, very jarring to see children smoking cigarettes. But, you know, Europe in the 90s. And she says, no, thank you. They watched the live feed, and he said, look, I can switch it to something else. And he switched it to a camera that's in the room. So he has a live stream of the room from a camcorder in the corner. And he sort of uses it. She sits down and stands up, and he, like, tracks her with the camcorder. She's having a good time. You know what I mean? They're just hanging out. And she says, did your parents buy you all this stuff? And he's like, yeah, they did. And he's like, you know, I could loan you loads of movies if, you know, you don't want to get them from the store, but I don't know what you like. She says, I really like all movies. I like cartoons. I loved Roger Rabbit. Excellent film. They chat. She says, do you not have any brothers or sisters? And he says, no, which I thought was really interesting because he has a sister, but they perhaps aren't close as no one in this family seems to be.
Yes.
And she's like, well, I have 4 sisters, but I don't want to talk about it. He says, oh, okay, that bad. And she says, well, I'm going to head home. But he stops and he's like, why? She says, I don't know. I guess just because. And he says, well, you know, here, come with me. And they end up making a German pizza, which is almost
what is a German pizza?
It's whatever there. It looks like AI generated.
It's like a pretzel with ham on it.
I mean, it looks like AI generated DiGiorno's. Like it's DiGiorno's, like through like some like the
filter of,
some sort of weird lens. And it's almost as upsetting as the pig slaughter scene. Like it's so wet. It's so disgusting. Ugh.
Yuck.
He makes it in the microwave so you know it's soft. You know what I mean?
Ugh.
And he says it just needs a minute to cool down. They both sit there silently. And he's like, well, how far away do you live? She's like, yeah, it takes me an hour. I have to take a streetcar and then the subway to come into school from my house. And he's like, oh, look at this. What am I? And he pantomimes being a strap hanger on the subway. He says, who am I? She doesn't know. He's like, oh, I'm a guy on the subway. And then he drops to the ground and starts crawling around and says, what's this? And sort of barks. She's like, I don't know. He says, I'm a dog on the subway. Allison, he leaps up and he grabs the girl's hands behind her back and he shoves her head down. And she sort of pulls free and he says, I was a cop on the subway. Girl, you got to get out of there.
Yeah, this is not a hang.
But again, it's sort of like he's edging up to like, this is a game, right? Like, oh, I was just being a cop on the subway. I wasn't actually being weird.
Yes.
They also eat the pizza with... People drink so much milk in this film. They eat the pizza with a big old glass of milk.
That's the grossest thing I've ever.
And I'm even someone who will drink a glass of milk. And I was like, oh, this is coming out hot. The scene also
milk
is the
hot, wet pizza.
And like the scene has like the loudest mouth sounds ever recorded.
Oh, of course it does. That's fucking disgusting.
But there's like two where it's like they're just like awkwardly eating terrible pizza, which is mostly what being a teenager is. Is like, yes. I don't know. This was in the house. We're eating it.
Is it this? Yeah.
Allison, he takes the girl back to his room and shows her the pig slaughtering video.
No.
And he says, yeah, my parents go out to the farm every weekend. That's my father. And we see George, like we see the pig, the actual pig farmers, like bring out the hog. And then we see George, who's in like a yellow sweater and a gorgeous leather coat, like draped over his shoulders, right? Like he's a dilettante. Like he's rich. Like he's not an actual farmer, but he goes out to like
visiting
play
the farm that he makes money from. He doesn't do farm work.
Yeah. But I think like they like the idea of like we're escaping the city. It's like
we're farmers.
We're going to the country.
Yes.
Of course, the pig is killed, falls, and she says, it's snowing. And he looks, and it's true. Like, as soon as the pig hits the ground, like, you see snow start to drift down because winter
time. I hope it snows this year. It won't.
I'm sorry, Allison. It almost certainly won't.
Snow is a thing of the past.
Yeah. Sorry to everybody. And then he shows her the pig dying again in slow motion, which, again, is what we in America call a red flag. Perhaps in Europe, we call it a first date. We see his two remotes in his hands, and he's sort of, like, switching the screens. And she says, well, did you film that yourself? What was it like? And he's like, yeah, that was me. I went with them that weekend. And she's like, have you ever seen a dead body? Like, she's really disturbed by it. He says, it's just a pig, you know?
In Wirklichkeit meine ich.
Du?
Nein, deswegen frage ich ja.
Es war ein Schwein.
But he did say, I have seen a body. Like, when my grandfather died, they had him laid out in his coffin when we got there, and my dad lifted me up so I could look at him one last time, but I closed my eyes, and I always remember I didn't look at him. She says, well, my grandparents died a long time ago. I don't remember them. Allison, Benny says to the girl, can I show you something?
Oh, no. It's like you've already shown her so much.
Yeah.
Like, to have to ask at this point, it's like,
yeah,
we watched a slow motion pig getting shot, and you assaulted me.
Allison, he opens a drawer and shows her that he stole the bolt gun from the pig farm that they killed the pig
what
with.
What the fuck?
And he says, yeah, the farmer realized it was gone the next time we went out there. And he said, well, but, you know, if this had been gone last week, we wouldn't have the ham reading right now. She's like, oh, okay. And he hands it to her and he puts it to his chest. And he says, pull the trigger. And she she puts it immediately down. She's like, I'm not doing that. And he says, coward. He picks
what
it up.
What the fuck?
Allison, he picks up the bolt gun and he presses it to her chest. And she says back to him, do it, coward. And he shoots her in the chest. Allison, she's not dead.
Okay.
She's not even close to it. She's just horribly wounded. And we see her on the live feed of the room. Because remember, he's streaming the room. So now for the rest of the scene, we're seeing
it on the video.
And as horrifying as Michael Haneke's movies are, he has vision and discretion and taste. So it's sort of
are
getting, it's horrific, but like a lot of it is like off camera. You know what I mean? Like we are hearing it, it's horrible, but we're not seeing every part of it because I think it would just be, you know, too much, especially this early in the film. But Benny grabs her and his thing is he wants her to be quiet. And so he puts his hand over her mouth. So we could hear her still screaming. She's kind of crawled off camera. And he's telling her, be quiet, be quiet. Allison, he runs over and he loads the gun again. And he shoots her again.
What the fuck?
It still doesn't kill her. She's just screaming louder. I'm assuming he shot her in the chest the second time again. And he's begging her, please be quiet, please be quiet. He reloads the gun a third time. And we see her try to crawl away. She crawls off camera again. And finally, off camera, we hear a third shot. And from the position, we could see that he has shot her in the head. We don't actually see it, but we could tell from the way he's standing. She falls silent, dead. Allison, what would you do?
What would you do?
I mean, I guess in this position, I'm not the dead girl.
No, I mean, I guess if you want to be, would you have a your ghost?
There's nothing to do there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Why did he do that? What's happening?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Like, I don't know what to do. Who am I? Him?
I guess you're him. Yeah.
I guess like tell someone that she did it and like it was an accident. And
yeah, but three times, Allison, no one's going to believe
and
you.
And in the head?
I think the thing of it is like not we would not be in this position.
Correct.
So it's sort of like, what would you do? Well, not this.
Not this. None of that. I would have done none of that.
But let's say something happened and this, I did do this. I am, there's no conceivable way I could conceal this. Like, there's no way. I would probably have to just call the cops myself. Because
I'd have to immediately confess.
If I were to try to hide this, I would fall apart. Like, I would physically disintegrate. There's no way I could pull this off.
Also, it would be immediate, like, everybody would be like, something is wrong the first time they see me. Like, it would be, like, really
you would just be shaking and vomiting and tears running down your face, being like, how are the chicken tenders? Is anyone here on a first date? You know what I mean? Like, it's like you can't go through your real life after something like this.
No, this is kind of the defining moment for you.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
But it's interesting, Allison, because that is what Benny does. He goes and he gets a glass of water. And
at least it's not milk.
Well, I mean, he does open some yogurt. So he's double dosing yogurt. The dairy.
Mm-hmm. You kill your classmate and then you're like, I need some yogurt.
But I will say that she is not from his school. And that will come up later, is that like she is just some girl he met. This is not someone who, so as we'll find out, there
is. Not that makes it like better, but it makes it, I guess, easier to be like covering up in your day-to-day school goings on.
Correct. That is correct. He is also completely unfazed, right? Like this is a very different film if he's freaking out, if he's panicking. Allison, he throws a sheet over her body and then goes back to finish his yogurt. He goes through her backpack looking for her wallet. He like just dumps all the
parents,
stuff.
They're gone
for
away?
The weekend. They're gone for the weekend. So the implication is that this happened Friday after school. So he went to school.
So he's got
had choir.
Time to deal with this.
Exactly. Yes. And he finds her wallet, and in her wallet is a folded up photo of her cat, and he just flings it to the ground.
No.
And it's just sort of like this, it is both like, obviously the murder is the most disturbing part, but the way he sort of just like goes through all her, rummages through all her stuff and then just dumps it when it's like these intimate, like she has this Russian nesting doll of like wooden eggs that are just like something a kid would have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just like a thing.
It just opens it, there's something inside, and just dumps it. I think it's like, it is a disturbing image that parallels the murder.
Of course.
He then.
If I get killed. Yeah. Avenge my death for Riz.
Okay, yeah. No, absolutely. And I'll show him a photo of your killer brought to justice.
Yes, so that he knows. Yes,
and I'll fold it up and I'll put it in his wallet.
In his little wallet. He does have a wallet because he's a businessman.
Benny then proceeds to do his homework. He's like, I get it done early so I can enjoy my weekend. He's blasting music. And again, he's in the room with the body, right? And what's interesting is, like, watching it, like, I can't really recap the meaning of the TV shows, but it just seems like there's, like, a news puppet show that I remember from Britain. Like, so it's, like, everything. It's sort of Europe's version of Solid Gold Disco. There's the news. Uh-huh. There's talk shows. So just, like, ambient sound in the background versus, okay, everything has, like, a deliberate, like, he's watching graphic violence. It's just sort of whatever's filtering in. We also then see the live feed of the room is still going. We see a blood-stained sheet, you know, over the girl's body. He then realizes, oh, shit, the sheets. And he goes and he scrubs the sheets in the bathtub. And I guess maybe that would still work in 1992. Now there'd be DNA even if you cleaned it.
Yeah.
The best you could. And he hangs it to dry. But they would find you from that. He then proceeds to wipe up the blood like pouring out of the girl's head still. Like, I mean, it's like it's coagulating, yeah. But like there's a huge puddle and he's dragging her. And then every inch he drags her, he like mops up the blood afterwards. I'm like, this seems like the worst way to do it, but also I've never done this. So
yeah, no, I don't know if I'm equipped to give notes on this kind of thing as I've never done it and never want to.
Yes.
So I don't think about it.
But for, as far as I can tell, it's a terrible system for a terrible guy. It
doesn't seem effective.
Yeah. We also then see that he gets undressed because he realizes he's going to stain his nice school clothes. Allison, the landline rings. Betty's friend, Ricky, calls to invite him to go do math. And basically, they're like, we're going to get together this weekend. They chat, and Betty's joking around like, oh, my God, the guy's such an asshole. Okay, he can come. He can bring the chick. What are you going to wear tonight? So they're making plans to go out, so it'll be Friday night, right? And we get this wide shot of him, and he realizes he has a smear of blood up his torso and arm. And then we get the worst scene, and I was like, I thought we were veering into a sexual realm because we know the director, and I was like, oh, yeah. God damn.
Know what he's up to.
But it is like a very sensual, like I think it's like speaks to his level of sociopathy where like he goes to like wipe it off and he ends up like smearing it all over his nude torso. And I was like, please don't jerk off with the blood. Please don't jerk off with the blood.
Don't jerk off with the blood.
He didn't. He didn't. You know, oh, and God. Again, I appreciate it. Unfortunately, he then goes to film the girl's corpse, which is face down, and her skirt, her school skirt, is sort of ridden up so you can see her underwear. Yeah. And he reaches down, and I'm like, please don't rape the corpse. Oh,
yeah,
please don't rape the corpse.
Down.
He just pulls the skirt down. He does it. But obviously,
wow,
Michael,
a gentleman.
Michael Aniko knows in both the situations, he knows that we are like, please don't do this.
Yes.
And so he's evoking whether or not we're depicting it, which again, artful. He turns the body over, and again, he's filming all of this from the camcorder in the corner, and he is broadcasting footage from the live stream onto the TV, and also footage of him rubbing blood all over himself. And, you know, at a certain point, it's like, well, someone's got to maybe take this kid somewhere and talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
We hear the buzzer ring, and Betty gets dressed. Ricky is there to pick him up. And he and his friends, including Ricky, go to an all-ages club. Again, these look like babies. They look like, remember like that island that Pinocchio goes to, like the Island of Bad Boys? And I'm like, how, these 11-year-olds? But I guess, again, it's Europe, 1992, and that wouldn't have been so weird. But to me, it's like, if I'm in the club, I see a 12-year-old, I'm like, I gotta go like intervene or something. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Like, everyone else is a adult. Later, Benny sleeps over Ricky's house. And we see Ricky's little brother is asleep on the top bunk. When they come in, he's like, shut up. And they each take a Marlboro and they're smoking in the dark. And Ricky's like, oh, did you get AC/DC tickets? That's on Tuesday, but Benny didn't get them. And Ricky's like, oh, I'm really beat. I'm going to shut off the lights. And in the dark, they're still smoking. And Benny starts to say, Ricky? And you're like, okay, he's going to tell him.
He's going to tell him.
And Ricky says, what? And Benny chickens out. So he's like, nothing. I don't worry about it.
Richie. No. Thanks.
In the morning, Benny eats breakfast with Ricky and his parents. He's perfectly lovely, heads back home, and Ricky gives him his like already completed computer science homework. So basically, like, you could take it and copy it, I don't care. But you have to bring it on Monday. And Benny then just walks around the city. So it's Saturday, he's completely alone, and he goes to his sister's apartment, he presses the call button, tries to call up, but her roommates say she isn't in. But her roommates are like, oh, would you want to come up anyways? And he says no, and he starts walking around. And we see him just sort of wandering around the city loose alone. He goes to watch a bunch
with a dead body in his bathroom.
Well, so we're going to see in a minute, but he has put it in his wardrobe. So I thought it was his closet, but it's like a standing wardrobe. Like, we don't tend to have them in America so much.
Yeah,
but like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so if you don't have closet space, you get like one from IKEA.
A wardrobe,
so she is wrapped in plastic and at the bottom of that, so under his hanging clothes. Again, not a long-term solution.
No.
But we see him wander. He sees a crowd of people ice skating. He sits at the train station watching people and, like, reading alone. So, again, obviously, someone who can form, like, he has friendships, but then also spends so much time alone while observing, you know, humanity. And he goes to the barbershop, and the barber says, are you sure you want this? I don't want to catch hell from your parents. And Benny says, no, it's all right. And the barber shaves his head. And Benny has a lot of, like, beautiful hair. And it is the kind of thing where I imagine, like, a lot of parents would freak out about, even though it is your hair and you're old enough to make that decision.
Right.
he gets home and his parents are mad because they got home that evening and he walks in and his mom, before she like turns around, is like, we've been home since six. Where were you? And she turns to see his hair and she's speechless.
Of course.
We then see them eating dinner in complete silence. German style.
Very, yeah. I was like, that doesn't indicate that anything's wrong.
Yeah. And we see Benny get ready for bed, like brush his teeth. And his dad's just chewing him out. Like, don't you think there are more reasonable ways to rebel? That's not what rebellion is. Okay, it's not reasonable. And his dad says, I hope you're not trying to impress me or your mother. And he says, is this what's on trend now, being a baby skinhead? And Benny's not replying at all. He's just like getting ready in the bathroom for bed. And he says, well, you can forget this angst about how the world doesn't love you. If you're smart, you will follow the rules if you expect others to do the same. Again, very European. He says, do you think this will endear you to your teachers when you show up looking like something out of a concentration camp?
Again, okay, Germans, let's calm down with that.
And I'm not saying that this is why Benny is apparently a sociopath, but this isn't helping.
It's not helping.
It's not helping.
Yeah, it's not helping.
And I will say this, and this will be sort of like a conversation we have at the end, but it's like, I do feel like when we were growing up, there was really this idea of like, well, like parents have nothing to do with like how a kid turns out. I don't know if you paid attention to any of the mass shooters that have come out of the last 10 years, but they are obviously the product of, and I'm not saying like they don't have unique problems that cause them to do this, but then also when you find out about their parents, like there was those parents that got arrested and charged because they got the kid a gun and they knew
they
he had it
at
school.
They bought him a machine, an assault rifle, yeah.
So I do think it's like we have to move past the point that like, well, parents never do anything wrong. A lot of parents do a lot of stuff wrong. Yeah, so I think it's a good example of like, yeah, he's probably like, this is probably something that uniquely fucked up about him. And also he is being raised in an environment where we've only seen him punished. They don't ask him anything about his life. Like, they don't really have an emotional relationship with him, which is probably like, if he's someone who maybe is like, doesn't have empathy to begin with, and then he's raised with people in like an unemotional household, you could see how that sort of maybe would cause something like this. Just to observe that now, we could talk about that more at the end. And Benny just sort of silently gets ready for bed, and his dad's like, oh, everything I say is just an irritation to you, isn't it? And Benny finally asks, can I go now? And his dad silently walks out. In bed, Benny watches TV and he goes and he checks the body, which is again in the wardrobe. The next day, he gets ready for school. He's back at it, TV blaring. He forgets Ricky's homework, and in class, Ricky is fucking pissed. And the teacher asks for the homework, and Ricky says, I gave it to Benny, and Benny was supposed to bring it in. The teacher said, well, where is it? And Allison, Benny says, I don't know what he's talking about, which is like a hilarious betrayal. And Ricky turns to like, why would you do this to me?
Because he's a psycho.
And the teacher tells Ricky, like, if you think you can fool me, you have another thing coming. And the teacher turns to walk back up to the front of the class. And Benny turns and punches Ricky, who again did loan him his homework and was trying to be nice, punches Ricky in the stomach. And the teacher says, you have to go to the principal. And the teacher, as he's going out, tells Benny, I need to talk to one of your parents tomorrow. Is that clear? Because I don't know what's going on with you. But again, like from the outside, it's like, okay, you shave your head and now you're acting crazy at school. That's pretty standard issue teen stuff.
Yeah, that's teen stuff. Like not necessarily out of the box.
Yeah, but you do have to go like talk to him and figure it out.
But you should do something about that and make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, he arrives home and he pours himself another big, delicious cold glass of milk and he splashes it all over the counter.
That's the grossest part of it.
He wipes up the milk and he smears it in much of the way he smeared the girl's blood around on
this
the
This is in the form. Trailer. And I did. I was like, don't know what that white is. It's not going to be a good thing. At best, it's milk, and that still sucks.
We then see him reading a Donald Duck comic while he eats a snack. So I think it's like to emphasize that how young he actually is. Mm-hmm. That night, Benny watches the news again in his room about Serbia. His mom joins him, and his dad comes to the doorway like we saw. Their little nightly ritual before they go to bed. And listen, as they all watch the news, Benny switches to the video of him killing the girl, and we watch the entire thing again. From coward, like we see her from behind. She says, do a coward. The shot all the way through the third shot. God. His parents don't say anything the entire time. They, like, obviously they're reacting. They're having, like, subtle, like, horrified reactions.
Yes, Benny, you should.
Benny just looks down at his lap. And when it's over, Benny stops the tape and switches back to the news. And then he shuts off the TV entirely. We then cut to... We do not get the conversation of, like, immediately after, which I think is, like, because there wasn't one.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, the parents are trying to figure out what to do. They look at the body. They look at the bolt gun. They take the tape that he has. And his dad's like trying to get information of like how and what, where are we at with this? He's like, you didn't know her. She didn't go to your school. Did anyone see you together? Did anyone see you in the building? And we did see him. We saw two maintenance men, but he was alone when he saw those people. So nobody in the building saw it. And his mom's jaw starts to tremble. And George says, Anna, please, if you could please hold it together. And so, you know, Betty tells
him, together while we interrogate our son about a murder he showed us that he captured on video.
Yeah. And he tells him about going to Ricky's, staying over there, but then said, that's it. I didn't say anything to him. And George is asking Anna, like, who else could have seen them? And Anna's like, I have no idea. Like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Like, and then Benny says to his mother, I'm hungry. And she looks at him like, but then she just takes off her earrings, puts them on the counter, and then she goes to cook. Like, she doesn't say anything to him, you know? And the dad also says, you know, I think you could just go ahead and go to sleep and we'll figure this out in the morning. But his dad says, you aren't going to school tomorrow. And Benny starts to ask, like, well, so what are we doing about? And his dad shakes his head and says, I don't know yet, right? So that night, Benny goes to sleep and he asks his mom to leave the door open. And the door is open to the living room the door to the living room is also left open, so we could hear them talking in the kitchen, which I think is like the parallel to hearing them have sex.
Yes.
And we sort of see the shot of the open door from his perspective, like the child's perspective, like this light coming in. And the parents sort of argue at the dinner table, like, what the fuck are we going to do? And Anna, the mom goes, well, if it was an accident, he'll be okay. And his dad's like, an accident? That wasn't an accident, and there's no way that people would believe that.
Yeah, even like without the tape.
Yes.
Like, it's still just like twice in the chest, once in the head with a bolt gun that he clearly had from the far, like, I don't know.
And Anna says,
like a stretch.
And Anna says, are you going to turn him in? And Charlie's like, I don't know. I don't know what we should be doing. And she starts to crack up, like starts laughing. And he's like, please, please try to hold it together. And he's trying to, like, sort of, like, just making lists and sort of figure out, like, okay, let's look at the points in Benny's favor. A, he's a minor. That's it. That's all we have. He's under 18, but, like, he did all, like, there's nothing else to be said about it, you know? Points against, he was alone when he committed the murder. He fired several shots. Where did he get the butcher's gun? He was parental neglect because he was unsupervised for the weekend.
Right. He was alone all weekend.
Yeah. And he's like, even if nothing happens to us, which I doubt, like I'm assuming we would also be charged because like we left him here, he'll be put in a psychiatric hospital. And he says to her, it's like, just so you know, if anyone finds out, his life is ruined. Even if he doesn't go to prison, he'll be put in a facility. His life is over. And then he says, and it's just the thing for our reputation too.
So well, that's the most important thing.
We know that we're going to try to cover it up, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
And that's when George says, you know, here are the options, I think, for getting rid of the body. And it's like laughing, like unconsciously. He's like, could you please just pull it together? And he says, if he didn't tell anyone, there's no witnesses, and she doesn't go to school, and I believe him, then who would suspect him? So really, it's like, okay, people wouldn't be able to put it together without evidence, you know? And Anna says, what do you have in mind? George says, I don't have anything in mind. She says, well, what I mean is, how would you get rid of the body? And now we cut to Benny's door open. And we hear like he could barely hear this conversation, but he hears them. And when we cut back, George is saying like, well, we could burn her belongings at the farm, like take them out, like her bag and stuff. We could burn it there so it's not here. And Anna says, do we have to, it's like, basically they're going to dismember her. And Anna says, well, if we're doing that, we have to cut her up into pieces that are small enough so she can be flushed away. So their plan is to dismember this teenage girl's body, cut her up in tiny enough pieces, and flush her down the toilet, Allison.
That's a great, like, I feel like they have so many other options.
Oh, right, because I was like, why wouldn't you take her to the farm and, like do something there or put her in the river? Like, there's so many.
There's, like, I'm sure there's, like, a machine that, like, pulverizes meat over there. Like,
they're slaughtering hogs. Put her in wherever the hog slaughtering situation is.
Like, I know that'll probably, like, complicate. Like,
yeah.
It just seems.
Oh, it seems so messy.
Flushing down the toilet is so low on the list of things. Like, that wouldn't even.
You know what? There is a British serial killer who did this. Allison,
we're not even allowed to flush tampons.
Well, that's the thing.
But they're going to flush a person?
Dennis Nilsson. NILSEN. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Wow. That was a bad one. He was caught because he was flushing body parts, and they became such a problem when they had to come and fix the plumbing. And yeah. I think he eventually, the cops came. Like, I think he killed 12 men and young boys. Oh, awful, awful stuff. But eventually the cops came, and it was like they went through the sewer, like the sewer system, and it's like, oh yeah, no, you can't do that forever and not expect that somebody's going to find some sort of evidence of it. So it's like, and also it's like, so you're going to dismember her, what, in the bathtub? So it's like all the viscera, like it just makes, it makes absolutely no sense. And but I think also speaks to like how
are you flushing bones down the toilet?
Well, that's what she said. She's like, well, what about the bones? He's like, well, we could take those to the farm. We could burn them. We could try to like break them up. You know, like, I'm not sure. But then I'm like, well, then just burn her body. Like, I'm like, what are you talking?
What are you? Yeah, this just seems like of like they are not without other options, it seems.
But I think also like that explains that, at least in part, explains why Benny is like what he is. Yes. Like, it's like their decision is not simply we're going to cover this up, but we are going to dismember a body. Like, they just, he just says like, I'm just going to throw this out here. We're going to dismember her body and take her bones and burn them. And they're, that's just sort of, you know, they're just having this, like, it's a casual conversation. Yeah, sorry. I was looking at the Dennis Nilsen Wikipedia article. The three officers followed Nilsen into his flat, where they immediately noted the odor of rotting flesh. Ugh. Yeah, you can't be doing this. They live in an apartment building. It's not even a freestanding house, Allison. It's not even like they have a septic tank they could throw her in. This is a public. This goes right to the sewer. What are they talking about?
What are you doing?
Don't do this, obviously. But also, don't do this either. Right?
Don't do this. Don't do this.
And she finally asks, are you serious? And George says, do you have a better idea? Allison, who's going to survive this movie?
Who will survive?
I think something's going to happen to the parents and Benny is going to survive.
Okay, great. And what do you think is going to happen to them?
Either they're going to get, like, they're going to get blamed for this death and go to jail, or there will be a mishap in the attempts to dispose of her where they end up dead.
Okay, great.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We see Anna. She picks her earrings back up, puts them on, and says, you know, tells him to get some sleep. And he says to her, are you ready? Do you think you could do this? And she says, I don't know. Like, what do you mean?
How would I and even know if I was ready?
ready to cut up a teen girl's body and flush it on the toilet?
That our son murdered in cold blood on video?
Allison, he says again, he reiterates, the pieces must be very small or they won't fit down the drain. It's like, yeah, we got it.
That's going to take days.
Also, like, then what are you going to do with her skull? Like, there are bones that you can't, like, disguise as hog bones. Like, there are a lot of stuff where people see this, like, oh, this is a human skeleton. And George says, as for Benny, I'm not sure what to do, but, like, we have to take him out of school. He has to be away for a little while. Like, he can't be here. Tell the school he's sick. Tell them there's a funeral. Like, he just needs to be out of town for this and away from what's going on. I don't want him to, like, really know the details. And she says, well, what if somebody finds out one way or the other? And George says, I don't know. And I thought that was at least, like, honest, like, bitch, I don't. What are you talking about? Like, neither of us know. And they can't console one another, and yet they're still going to do it. Like, both of them admit, like, this could go horribly awry, and we're just going to try to do it because we think it's better, right?
Yeah.
So Anna and Benny go to a travel agent, and they were like basically booking a trip out of town. And the travel agent's like, oh, well, you could go here, you go here. The soonest ticket she could get is they're going to Egypt. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not suspicious at all. You go
yeah,
to,
just
you and your son go to Egypt for a week randomly, take him out of school. And Anna goes to the principal and lies and says, you know, my mother died and I'm taking Benny, you know, we're going to take the full week. We have to travel for a funeral, which again, the police will check. If they ever find out, like connect you to this, they will be able to see there was no funeral. Like there, we, yeah. like, don't, you're
yeah,
creating
so
too many
easy.
Lies.
Yeah.
Yeah. We see them go to a cafe and Anna reads the newspaper sort of loudly turning the pages. And she says, do you want anything else? And we see him return his movie rentals. The guy's like, oh, do you want the new rentals you want? He's like, no, I'm not going to rent anything right now. At home, George is furious that Benny didn't tell him that he stopped by Ava's apartment. And you get the sense from this conversation, like Ava's sort of the golden child. Like, mm-hmm. how dare you drag yeah. her into this? And he's like, well, why wouldn't you tell us that? What else aren't you telling us? He's like, no, I told you everything. And his dad takes his face in his hands and he says, you must not lie. Stakes are far too high now. And he hasn't lied. You know what I mean? Like he has been totally upfront. He didn't say the Ava thing. And, but I think we're to believe like that was an innocent mistake.
Yeah.
Like he has been guileless about confessing this murder
yeah.
to his parents, which
he
just
showed them the
yeah.
video. Like
and it doesn't mean he's a good guy. It means that like he is lacking the ability to understand
yes.
what has happened and like
yes.
is just being honestly talking about it. But I'm like, if he's this guy, wouldn't you be afraid that he would tell his friends eventually? Like he's a teenager.
Right. Right.
Who doesn't have the ability to like understand what the fuck he's doing. That night we see his mother come to the edge of Benny's bed and watches him, you know, like probably she did as when he was a younger child, mm-hmm. you know. Allison, they go to Egypt and they have a blast. They take a bus tour. You know, we see the mom has to keep going to the phone booths. I think at the airport to like call the dad to like check in, but like,
yeah.
The weather's gorgeous. You know, they get dinner. They're having fun. That night they're laying in bed and they're sort of like twin beds next to each other, like at a hotel. And she says, how are you doing? And Benny says, fine. And she says, do you like it here? And he's like, well, you know, there's a lot of old people here. And they both roll over and go to sleep. The next day, Benny films his mom while his mom goes parasailing. They go parasailing. They're having a blast, Allison.
I mean,
and we see him watching it back on the TV and he's like yelling and they're having a great time. It is unfortunate. It's like, well, I guess the only way you got to spend time with your parents is murdering that girl. It probably would have been
yeah.
nice if you would, if they had taken you on a trip or spent any amount of time paying
before.
Attention to you before
yes.
now. We're past that point, of course. And we see sort of, we see the local news, we see soccer, we see like music, we see a political show. And we also see footage of a church. Like they visited some old, beautiful church. And we see him sort of watching all this footage back, and then he stands at the window of the hotel and he looks out at the water, at these beautiful boats. And his mom comes in and is like, okay, I just spoke to your dad. He seems good. You know, everything seems to be A-okay. We see them drive this two-lane highway out of the city. They stop at this beautiful, like, market with food and gifts. And we see the mom looking at this hat and sort of like, oh, should you get this hat? And we see these little boys. Like, all the kids see the camcorder and are like, oh, cool, you know, like waving at him. People smile at them because they're used to tourists. And while they're sort of like, you know, buying things, we see a guy buy a dead chicken. We see a little tiny boy eat a little piece of bread. Again, it's beautiful. It's a great vacation.
Yeah,
we go to the church and he gets yelled at to not film anything, but he still films things anyways. In another video, we see him sort of like leaning against like an ancient structure and his mom like yells at him to get out of the shot. She's like, oh, he says it's too hot. And he sort of storms out when she yells at him to move. So sort of like what would be a normal family vacation.
Yes, except
the only reason they're there is that he murdered somebody. The next day, they play backgammon together. He records himself. You know, we see him. He's sort of like, this is obviously like a beautiful hotel right on the beach, right? And so he records himself. He's like, mom went swimming today and I got sunburned. He lifts his shirt up. Again, like a little kid. And he shows his sunburn. And he puts his shirt down. He says, well, there's been nothing in the papers. And or at least mom isn't telling me if she sees it. Well, the papers we get here. It's like, yeah, if it's the local paper, maybe you're not getting it in Egypt. You know, obviously, if it's made the big paper, maybe you might not be able to go back. He's like, our plane leaves in 2 days. I wonder if dad will manage it. A week is a long time. And then he says, "Ciao, Papa," as if he's going to show this to his father as like his vacation diary. But he's also talking about the fact that his dad is disposing of a body, you know?
Yeah.
Allison, on their last day, we see Anna and Benny. They're laying. It's incredibly hot. They're laying in their hotel beds watching TV. And slowly Anna starts to cry. First, it's wordless. Her lips are trembling. And she keeps opening her mouth as if to speak. And Benny reaches over and Anna rolls away and like crouches at the edge of the bed and starts sobbing, these painful sobs. And he says, "Mama, what's wrong?" But she doesn't reply. And so Benny just sort of lies there awkwardly while Anna weeps. But I think like, he doesn't know. Like he doesn't really understand what's going on. And his parents have no ability to like connect with him emotionally to like get him to feel it. Because at this point, it's like, yeah, you should know. If you don't, something's gone real haywire, right?
Yeah.
They arrive back in Germany at the airport. George picks them up, big smile on his face. We see Benny in the hat that his mom got him at the market. And their conversation on the way back to the hotel, their conversation on the way back to the apartment is completely banal, you know? He's like, "Oh, the systems have totally been fucked. I'm dreading how much work is going to be waiting for me on Monday. Oh, remember the school concert's on Friday. You're singing with the choir." Just normal everyday stuff. And Benny walks into the room. It's perfectly clean with the shades up and sunlight streaming in.
Okay.
He goes to brush his teeth. It's the evening. And his mom says, "Hey, go to sleep. Tomorrow you're back at it. You're back in school." And she kisses him goodnight and says, "No TV tonight, okay?" And she goes to bed. And his dad comes in and sits on the end of his bed. And George says, "I'm glad you're back." Benny says, "Me too." And his dad tells him, "Good. I love you." Benny doesn't reply. And I think that's because he doesn't. And perhaps cannot feel much of anything. And his dad tells him, "I think everything is okay. Everything should be fine. So I just want you to know that so you can go to sleep." So I think he's saying, like, it has been done. And I think it's been done in a way that's never going to come back to you. So don't feel like you have to carry this around with you. But before he goes, George says, "I have one question." And obviously the question is, "Why did you do it?"
Yeah.
And Benny looks at him and says, "What?" And George like turns. So the first time like George turns and actually looks at his son, because it's like, "What do you mean, what?"
Right.
Like, "What do you mean?" And Benny looks away and he looks back at his father. He says, "I don't know. I just wanted to see what it was like." Probably. And George says, "Well, what's like?" And Benny just looks away. And then he looks back at him with this look that to me conveyed like, "Don't ask," like in an almost like pleading way, "Don't ask me that. Don't ask me what I wanted," right?
Yeah.
And so George goes to bed. And Benny goes and looks at the bottom of his wardrobe. It's perfectly clean. In the morning, Allison, it's another school day. You know, he eats his toast. His hair is already growing in. He across from him, there's like a big gallery wall of like, there's like an Andy Warhol poster and like a picture of fruit. And like, he always looks at the same spot every day. And his mother is still there. And he said, "Well, don't you have to go open the shop?" Because she runs his dad works in an office. His mother runs a shop. She's like, "You know, I think it's nicer to have breakfast together. And so I could open it later." Again, parenting you could have been doing prior to these
all
events.
Along. Yes.
Where you're like, yes, we do have to spend time with the child, you know?
Yes, and like pay attention to him as a person and not just furniture.
Yeah. At school, he's like, "Oh my God, like Luxor was so," he tells Richie, like, who by the way is like just his friends again. Like, he's like, "Whatever, you punch me. Yeah. These things happen. We're teenage boys." And he's like, "Oh, Luxor was so beautiful. The weather was insanely hot, but it was gorgeous." And Ricky says, "Well, did you see her again?" But he says, "Who?" And Ricky's like, "Well, your grandma." And he's like, "Oh, no, the funeral was the first day, and then my mom took me to Egypt. So it was, I saw her at the funeral." Like, obviously, he's going to have to, like, pretend that was what we were doing.
Yeah.
And he buys them both McDonald's after school because he's got his walking around money again from his parents. At home, he's listening to music again while he does homework with his TV blaring. And there's a knock at the door. Allison's sandwiches are here for catering. Ava's doing another pilots and passengers meeting/party. And this time her parents are catering it. Life is back to normal, Allison.
Life goes on after you murder in cold blood as a teen.
Yeah. We see the tape of the pilots and passengers party. And we see them all put the dough in the box. And we see that Ava and George and Benny are watching it in his room after the fact. So Benny again filmed it, and now they're watching it. George is like, "You know, Ava is such an entrepreneur. Like, she's really cleaning up at the game. Like, she's really good at it." And Anna's like, you know, you should start a game. George's like, oh, God, like that's the last thing I need right now. But Anna's like, no, I really mean it. There are games now with huge stakes. Somebody out in Munich started one with a $100,000 buy-in. So everyone had to put in $100,000. Allison, we hear the boys' choir singing. It's Friday. It's the choir. It's a school concert.
Sure, sure.
And we see translated on the screen, despite the ancient dragon, despite the jaws of death, despite the fear of it all, rage, O world, and quake. And we see Anna and George watch Benny sing in the choir. And they might have mixed emotions on their face, but one of those emotions is definitely pride. And so yeah. They are looking, like, they still are like, look at our boy. Look at all the good things we did. Think of our reputation. And we see then the footage from the night that Anna and George discussed what to do with the girl's body. So the shot of the camcorder in Benny's room. Allison, he recorded that conversation.
Wait, where do we see, are we seeing this just as viewers being like, we know this tape exists, or is this?
As of right now, we are just seeing this footage, knowing that he recorded it. So we're sort of realizing, okay, so he has that on videotape. And we hear George say again in the other room, do you think you could handle it? And Anna saying, I don't know. And George saying, well, the pieces must be very small or they won't be able to fit down the drain. And again, then continue to talk about what to do about the body. We hear a man's voice say, when did they take you out of school? And Benny replies, the next day. And then the plane left the day after that. The man says, and there was no trace when he returned? Benny replies, none. And we see a hand change tapes, and we realize we were in a police interrogation room, Allison. And we cut to then a tape of Benny and Anna parasailing in Egypt. And we turn, the police officer says, why did you come to us now with this? Why did you, like, what is this? And Benny just shrugs and goes, just because.
Warum kommst du jetzt damit an?
Sport.
And they ask him, so you didn't know who the girl was? And Benny says, no. And he gives them the address of his dad's office and his mom's shop. And we see a video of, like, Benny recording in Egypt. We see hieroglyphics. And then it turns. It looks like it's actually his mother filming. So he waves.
Okay.
He's being filmed. We now see Benny being led out of the police interrogation room where his parents are waiting in the hallway. And they both just stare at him completely blank-faced. And we see him swallow hard. He says to his parents, sorry. And then we see the security footage of his parents being led into the interrogation room. And over the footage, we hear the news, Bosnia, Serbia, 7 dead in a terrible accident. The end.
Whoa.
Yeah.
God, it would suck to, like, go through all the effort of cleaning up that mess only to end up, like, that he's just like, yeah, I did it. Here's what happened. Here's all the footage and here's all the evidence. And my parents are now, like, wildly implicated in a way that they wouldn't have been if they hadn't helped.
Yes, absolutely. So here are my thoughts on what the movie is conveying. Because I understand the point where it's like, ah, yes, videos are making people alienated. I think perhaps videos and then the internet sort of magnifies or highlights the ways in which people are alienated. But this is something that could have easily happened anyways, right? Now, maybe in the past, it would be like there'd be more family around, or you'd be part of a church community, or maybe you'd be put into the army, you know, if you're a young man. Like, there are these structures and, like, institutions that don't exist anymore. But this kind of person and this kind of emotional understanding of the world, it's always existed. It's just sort of like, where do we funnel that? And then what do we hide, right? Because to me, it's like my two things about it where it's like they're rich. So it's sort of like almost their understanding of the world becomes warped because there's no stakes. Like when they say, you know, there's really high stakes of the game they play in Munich. It's more and more money. It's like their pastimes are just, it's just gambling. Like you just get in there with your money, and how that does sort of, like, that's not a connective activity. That's like community based entirely on money, and how his life doesn't have stakes. So like he did this horrific act. His parents cleaned it up and now
cleaned
he just
it right
goes
up
back.
And they're,
And how that does, like, you see how, I mean, we don't have to talk about the Elon Musk of it all, but it's like, you see how billionaires become insane. It's because they live a stakeless life. So then they have to, like, go out into the world and sort of enact themselves on it. And I think maybe that's, like, that's a part of the commentary. And then to me, the movie is also about patriarchy, obviously, And it's sort of like, instead of experiencing any repercussions, his parents warp reality around him to, quote, unquote, protect him. This is actually not good for him either, because clearly he's someone who, A, needs stakes, and B, needs to be, like, parented and, like, helped and figured out what's going on. So instead of dealing with him either emotionally or, like, legally or whatever they, you know, I don't know what I would do in that situation, but I wouldn't have done what they did. But it's like, they, instead of dealing with their son as he is, they literally change reality. They create a reality where he never did anything wrong. And he is still, like, again, watching him at the choir concert, he is still their perfect boy. He still is, like, he is part of the reputation. He is an emblem of their success. And that, of course, would make young men insane, which I do feel like is part of what patriarchy is.
100%.
Like, we as a society have been part of that. And I think more and more people are realizing, like, well, we can't, none of us can be a part of this, right? And so then it's like they pass on sort of like what the film, I think, is conveying, which is like this intense malaise and nihilism, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so if life isn't about community and connection, then people who perhaps already have like another disposition, whether it be genetic or biological or abuse or whatever, then it makes sense within that situation that horrific things were more likely to happen. Because they just get to that point where, like, he could even get to the point where he could imagine committing that kind of act, which I don't think is really about the videos, but I understand maybe the time it's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, this is like an indictment. Kind of like how people hated, like, violent video games. Where it's I understand that, but, like, what it's pointing out to us is the video games is not the issue. It's that we want this and, like, what it means about us as a species, you know?
Yes, they're more of a symptom than a cause.
Which is how I think about, like, porn. Like, I feel like people talk about porn a lot, and I think it's an important conversation just because, like, there is so much, like, you know, violent porn and, like, really extreme porn. But also, like, it's – we create that for us, right? Like, it's like porn is not some – like, people want to talk about, like, it's like, well, if porn didn't exist, that would be better. It's like, but we, the makers of, the stars of, the desirers of, will still exist. So it's like – you know, not that, like, the industry is great or whatever. I you know, don't know if about it. We obviously support all sex workers. But it's like getting rid of porn is like getting rid of alcohol. You know, like, we try to prohibition. Do prohibition where it's like, yes, that makes sense. But also the reason people are so drunk are the issues we need to address. And part of the reason people are so drunk is patriarchy. It is racism. It is religion. Like, people were drinking throughout time to, like, deal with how insanely hard life is. Yes. And now we're getting to the point where it's like, what if life wasn't this hard? I know people shouldn't drink. It's like, no, people are drinking to survive. People do drugs to survive. So we have to, like, address those things. And I think it's like, it's not the videos. It's not the video game. It's not the internet. It is who we are and our refusal to admit and address those problems, which just we just keep continuing to propagate.
Yeah, the way the parents just, like, clean up and carry on and are like, no, life continues in the way that we've had it because we need it to.
Exactly. Like, we just can't accept that this has happened, so we won't accept it. It's like, well, then even if he hadn't turned them in, and by doing so himself, he would just have killed again. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's not like it's going to stop.
Right. He was taught that there aren't consequences to that. So if he liked it, he can do it again.
And he didn't seem to dislike it. That's for sure. No. Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think were made in Benny's video?
Mistakes.
I mean, I would say the general detached parenting style and then willingness to clean up a murder. Those are pretty, I mean, Benny did a lot of wrong, but he's a troubled 16-year-old who had no boundaries. So we have to start with the fact that there weren't boundaries before you can even address, like, his mistakes.
Yeah, I think the movie intentionally makes it, like, that we are empathetic towards Benny.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that we need to deal with as a society is, like, there are going to be people like this where, like, he probably can't, like, he doesn't have an understanding of this outside of himself. He probably doesn't have insight into why he did that, really. Like, when he's like, why did you do it? It's like, I don't think there is an answer.
He doesn't have an answer.
Yeah. And so I think versus I feel like traditionally in society, we just choose to believe that certain people are evil. And that, of course, gets like projected onto different groups rather than dealing with like reality, which is, I'm so sorry. Everyone is a community problem. So like, yes, if your kid's like this, that's a you problem and you have to deal with it. And you have to have an actual, if they had, I think the implication is like, if they'd had an actual relationship with him, they would have at least picked up on this earlier.
Right.
Right. And like had some, like the fact that this was both a shock and also that they were not going to accept it speaks to how alienated they were from their own children.
Yes.
Again, not to necessarily blame the parents entirely, but you know, a couple slip ups there that maybe
they kind of set the table for this. So,
And then finally, where would you place Benny's video on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think this is a 5 for spooky.
Okay.
But like a 10 for like intense and.
Yes.
Like, I feel like it's not as, like, it captures a little bit of, like, psychological thrillery vibes of, like, oh, I'm not, like, terrified the whole time, but the bad stuff that happens is, like, truly upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is, like, a solid 5 for me. What about you?
I would say same thing. It was, like, an 11 in terms of, like, how unsettling I found it was. Like, I really thought it was hard to watch at certain points, but I wasn't scared. Yeah, it was, like, dread. Yeah. It was, sadness. Like, it's just a really, his films are very incredibly sad, which is why I think he's going for, you know, this is like a psychological horror, not like a, not a lot of jump scares in these films, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, in terms of scariness, yeah, I'll go 5 too. I feel like that feels right.
Feels right.
Definitely some, I mean, the pig murder is horrific. The way he shot them, like the girl's death, is incredibly scary. But then I think also like highlighting the fact that like most of this is just like a banal, like, well, what do rich people do? Like, this is, we're just going to walk around our beautiful city and go to school and
play games, give each other money, take money from people, cater events.
And I really like this one. Turns out huge Mike Heineke fan, and we'll keep it going.
I'm excited for the rest.
Yeah, I mean, he luckily is an incredibly long oeuvre, so he's it's like he was planning for us to do a month of his films. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, he kind of asked for this.
Oh, sorry. The film is set in Vienna. I should say that.
Okay.
I wasn't sure, but yes, it's set in Vienna. A gorgeous city. I was like, oh, what an incredible place to live. Walkable.
Ugh, love a walkable
public
city.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Yes.
And until next time.
Please keep it spooky.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Ruin Podcast,
or join us at patreon.com/ruinpodcast for exclusive episodes and video content.
Ruin is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, Dan Powell, and Houston Snyder.
Recorded and edited by Kat Iosa and Olivia Posner.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.